Welcome back to an exciting season of women's basketball. This is the Around the Rim podcast, women's basketball podcast. We've got a great team in this room today. So let's do the starting lineups, if you will. Starting at the producer role, myself, Luke Yost. Alongside me, Samuel, the New Hampshireite, and triplet, Samuel Anthony.
What's up?
And across the way, all the way from the Erie Ocean, our good friend Nicholas Hedrick.
Oh man, it's been a while since I've been called full name, but
Nicholas Hedrick.
Can we call it the Erie Ocean? Is that
it's
acceptable?
The Erie Ocean. It is definitely the Erie Ocean.
That's an Ian Kiss thing.
That is an Ian Kiss thing.
Okay. They don't know who Ian Kiss is.
Are you standing the whole show?
No. I was dancing for Sandman, so this is great. Yeah, you don't have to keep the music going. You know, you can fade it whenever you want, right? You're the producer. So
we're gonna fade it out now. Okay. So
back to business, right?
Back to business.
What a dream team.
Yes.
The 92 Olympics team really has a run for their money right now.
The 08 Redeem team also does too. That is a different topic for a different day. We are here for women's basketball. Are we excited? I'm excited. I've been excited since the beginning of the semester for this.
Dude, I've been excited since they lost to St. Francis, because that was just, for Robert Morris fans, that was extremely disappointing. I've been excited since they played Drexel in the NIT tournament. Lucas, you were there for that.
That was wild. I was there for that. Myself, along with Ian Kiss, who we've already mentioned before in the show, like 2 seconds ago.
We did. He's going to become a character on the show. Yes. We'll phone him in one show. Yes. I think we should do that.
That's a good tribute.
And our colleague.
He's not dead, but you know.
Our colleague, Matt Kurtzik, all went to Philadelphia. Took a 5-hour drive. Very awkward drive, by the way. But we went to Philly and we covered the Drexel Rob Morris game. They would lose that game by 13 points, 57-44. Now I was at the game taking pictures. I don't know if you guys saw any part of the game. Did you see any of the game? Did you watch any of it?
What, the Army Drexel?
The Army Drexel game.
Yes.
Yes. What did you see?
From my hotel in Rochester.
Your hotel in Rochester. Because you didn't want to go to basketball because you're a quitter.
You know, I don't even want to hear it. I drove to Altoona for games. So, well, we'll discuss that later. You know what? Here's the thing. And I don't want to harp too much on this game because, to me, one, it's a little anticlimactic for a team that I really do believe expected to go to the NCAA tournament, a team that was so dominant throughout the year. Really, again, it was a race between St. Francis and RMU, and St. Francis won the race because Jessica Kovach is the most unreal player I've ever seen in the NEC from the St. Francis Red Flash. But it also doesn't hurt to have the NEC Rookie of the Year and the NEC Defensive Player of the Year on your team as well. St. Francis had a lot of those weapons. Now, going into that game against Drexel, and I think, you know, Luke Yost, you said it best, and it's accurate, was Robert Morris had a hard time dealing with the press.
They did all season. You really could see it with the talent on that team, the people that they have to move the ball around. The press is something that they have struggled with. They struggled with all last year. I mean, they were playing bad teams, but if bad teams pressed them, they were gonna fold.
Well, that happened against Central Connecticut State.
The game we covered together.
They were last in the conference, I think, when they played, and they pressed us for a while, and we, you know, took a long portion of the game.
Of time where you're just sitting there like, okay, they move the ball pat. Like, they would get the ball, like, to half court, but not into an offensive set of any sort, and that game was close for that reason.
And that was the same with the reason why St. Francis played so tight with Robert Morris. They beat him twice, and Robert Morris won on a buzzer beater from Megan Smith. That was such a fun
great
game.
Shot. The best was the Titanic one.
Oh,
that they put up. That was amazing.
That was excellent. that was their biggest weakness. And they really took advantage of players like Hinoki Ikemasu. Hinoki's a great shooter. But Ikemasu has a huge turnover problem. And that's been her problem all year, and it especially showed in the press. And it started, I mean, it showed right from game one. I mean, they played Michigan State game one, but Michigan State took advantage of that right away. And for Robert Morris, that's definitely something, if I'm Coach Charlie Biscaglia, I'm focusing on going into this season.
Yeah, that would be Hinoka keeping the ball to herself, but, like, keeping the ball with the offense is a big deal
regroup here. Come on.
Let me find it.
The night is young.
Okay. She was the best player on the court when she would pass the ball first, get a screen, and then pop up in the corner and shoot a three.
Oh, she's the best shooter on the team.
She's the best shooter, one of the best shooters in the conference.
I think you can contribute a lot of their trouble with the press was that this was a young team still last year.
Yes.
And when you get all of them in high-pressure situations, they're not used to handling stuff like that, especially as a group yet. I think that can really rattle them. Later in the season, obviously, you still wouldn't expect to be as bad. But I think this year it's something that we'll see a drastic improvement in because, you know, Augustin, Callahan, Carrasco, all of them, and Ikemetsu, as you said, too. I mean, they've all played together now. They have experience with each other. They know to mesh with each other now a little better. I think the turnover numbers will go down significantly this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with the press, the problem is that they weren't passing the ball. They were trying to dribble through the press, which is what you don't want to do. It's the exact opposite of what you want to do. And that's really a, I don't say a trust issue, but that's more of like a anticipation thing. Right? Like, I don't know if I give the ball to Megan Callahan, what she's going to do with it. Like, now you have a year under your belt of like, okay, I understand how all of these different personalities play on the court together. And that's really a coaching thing too, where like you sit down and you go, okay, these, if we're getting pressed, these are the four players, these are the five players that I want on the floor that, you know, communicate well, understand where they're going to be on the floor together. And that's just something that doesn't, you just can't practice. That's something that just has to develop over time.
Yeah.
Very true.
I mean, so you talk about, you know, the youth, and with that, that's still going to be an issue this year. I think it'll be different. But aside from, you know, again, it's coming in with another huge freshman class. But, you know, despite the fact that they only lost Megan Smith and Michaela Mulrain,
there's only Jones.
And Jocelyn Jones. You're right. I can't believe I forgot Jocelyn Jones, actually.
Luke's favorite Jocelyn.
My favorite Jocelyn.
Wow. You know, that's a topic we'll discuss afterwards. But again, two seniors in Nia Adams and Shakima Dashnell. Shakima is a fifth-year senior. And two juniors in Nadege Pluvios and Neka Azebo.
Yeah.
Besides that, it is all freshmen and sophomores.
Yes.
And that will be the big question mark, is who do you look to? Who's going to step up? And again, really great freshman from last year. I mean, Megan Callahan, right off the bat, was great. Nina Augustin was sharing starting time with, you know, Ikemetsu and Jocelyn Jones and, I mean, all these other really great players. You saw Laura Carrasco. She had a lot more playing time at the start of the year, kind of went down towards the end. And I think the thing I always heard about Laura Carrasco was that she tried to do too much. She tried to be absolutely perfect. And you don't need to be.
Right.
And it's just having her understand, you know, to move on from the mistakes. And that's a youth thing. And you're going to talk about that again.
True.
But again, lots of sophomores, lots of freshmen. So the question will be, the two big questions to me, Nick Hederick and Luke Yost, is what I think will be, one, will there be any sophomore slumps in terms of, are they going to be able to keep that going? Are they going to be able to develop where they need to develop? And two, are we going to have any sensational freshmen? And there are quite a few, and we can talk about that later, but there are quite a few freshmen that really have caught my eye. And number one would be Bella Possett. I would think that Isabella Possett from Beaver, and from what it seems like, was their most coveted recruit. She was committed to them her junior year.
Yeah.
And they really pushed to get her on the team.
I've seen her play in person. She's a phenomenal player. She sees the floor well, and she's a great addition at the point guard spot with players like Augustin and Ikemetsu, because Augustin didn't drive to the hole. She was more of a, I would say, a quarterback position up there, where she would just pass and facilitate the ball, which is what you need. What you just need somebody that can come in and do those kind of, like, not necessarily score, but just move the ball, find the open person.
Yeah, she's good at finding the open person.
Yeah, yeah. And then
moving the offense, getting the ball
around,
finding a good
shot. Ikemetsu was great at shooting the ball, but moving the ball was, that's where the turnovers became a problem. Bella Posa drives to the hole, and that's a great thing to have with this team, because if you can have a point guard who can, she can pass, she can drive, she can do all the things you want in a point guard. If she can do that on this team at the one spot, I think you're going to see Ikemetsu move to the two guard and become more of that outside shooter.
Right.
I would say, like, I don't know who to compare it to, like Ray Allen-esque type deal, like where.
Let's pump the brakes a bit there.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say she's going to be Ray Allen, but I'm saying, like, that would be the where I would.
That's like the ceiling is kind of what you're saying. Yeah, the comparison great. Yeah.
That would be her. I think that's a more natural position for her, is not necessarily being the focus on the offense, but somebody that can come in and just purely score. with the basketball.
Well, I think they need one of those sophomores to step up and start scoring more, because a lot of them are, as we touched on, like people that move the ball, create shots for other people. But I think one of them this year really has to take charge and decide, you know, I'm going to take my shots when I get them now, and maybe drive to the hoop, as you touched on earlier, because a lot of their assist numbers and stuff are good, but in terms of points, they're really not there. So I think this year they really have to step up, get confidence in their shot, and start, I guess, letting them fly, for lack of a better term, and have confidence.
And they have the shooters to do it.
And they do have the capabilities to do it as well. Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, for me, I think, you know, the only question I have as far as sophomore slumps go is, can Megan Callahan keep producing at a level that she did last year?
100% yes.
Well, here's my argument.
All right, let's hear it.
So you've had Megan Callahan was still a freshman last year, obviously, with majority of the starting lineup. And she played really well when she was able to shoot her shots whenever she wanted. But at the same time, on the flip side of that, you're going to have a year to go. All these other coaches have a year to sit down and go, okay, how do we beat Robert Morris this year? Because we are going to talk about it. They're a heavy favorite in this conference to win it. I would say they're my favorite to win it. I mean,
yes, I would agree with you. And in my opinion, knowing the field that Robert Morris is faced with and the St. Francis team that Robert Morris is faced with,
yeah,
they are a heavy favorite.
But like this is a team, like, I mean, her high is 19 points. That's pretty good. But my thing is you're going to have time to sit down and, okay, Megan Callahan's the best scorer, pure scorer on this team. And then
you could say she might be the best all-around player on the team.
Wait, did you say Megan Callahan's the best pure scorer?
Yes.
That's incorrect. Hinoki Komatsu, easily.
But, okay.
Hinoka's currently ranked as the best three-point shooter in the history of the program. What is more of a pure shooter than a three-point shooter?
I said pure scorer, not pure shooter.
Pure, but the same concept.
That would imply, yeah.
Okay.
Pure scorer means that you – yeah.
Listen.
I mean, she's up there because she's currently sixth all-time on that list, but you got to forget the name in front of her, which is Hinoki Komatsu. Yes,
but
yes,
she's
Megan Callahan is a great scorer.
Roles are going to change, and Megan Callahan's role is not going to – Ikemachi's role is going to change this year. I'm.
How is it going to change? Elaborate.
She's
going to
become a scorer. She's not –
Isn't that what she is already?
But not – she's
not to
she's become more of a scorer this year than she was last year, because last year she had to focus on, okay – how do I move the ball down the floor and then effectively get my shot?
So here's the intriguing thing, all right? And this is where your point is going, all right? So last year, this team was very balanced. You really didn't see a player score more than 10 points per game on average because everyone contributed to the scoring and because they were such a defensive team. They were the best scoring defense in the conference and one of the best, actually, in the nation, because their defense was that impressive. They were at a point where they were a top 10 defense in the entire nation. That's how good their defense was. Now, the year before that, you had a player like Ananiki Samalampu. And I know you two weren't there for when Ananiki Samalampu played.
Here we go.
But, you know, we'll talk about this. You know, I don't even want to hear
it. Here we go.
I do own an Ananiki Samalampu jersey. I'm not going to lie. But here's the thing. She was a pure scorer. Her role on that team was to get points. Ananiki Samalampu would put up 20 to 30 points a game. That was her role. And so with her leaving, the idea was who was going to fill in for those points that were lost. And what happened was it was by committee. And what you're saying here is, all right, you got a player like Megan Callahan. You got a player like Hinoki Komatsu. Both of them can shoot. Both of them can score. So your concept, what you're trying to discuss here is who's going to basically kind of turn into that role this year. Are they going to just take one of them? And you're saying that they're going to take Ikemonsu, and basically just her job is to get open and get buckets.
Yeah, that's where Megan Callahan is going to slump at. Ikemonsu is the best shooter, and that's fine. But Megan Callahan's minutes are going to go down. And when she's on the floor, people know that she's there to score. You know what I mean?
Ikemonsu?
Megan Callahan. Ikemonsu still, I mean, they might move.
I do think Callahan will get more minutes than Ikemonsu because Ikemonsu is not as great of an overall player.
That's what
Her struggles with turnovers are big.
Absolutely, especially in a crunch time situation. I mean, if you need a big shot, sure, she'll be in. But
yeah,
do you want her in for a long period of the game? High intense situation, do you really trust her with her ball handling to be in there at that portion?
And that's going to be the wait and see thing. And I think that's going to come with all those players is who's really going to, and again, we're not a practice. we don't know who's out there who really had a really great summer and came back and shocked some people. So that's going to be the thing, is when they play Youngstown in that first game, who do you see in that starting lineup? I think that's a huge conversation that we should be having, is like, who the heck that's crazy. Because, you know, there's players you sit there and you go, like, they're a definite starter. I'm looking at this team. There's a definite starter in Nneka Igbo. I mean, first team preseason all-NBA team. Without a doubt. And her role was in waiting for when Michaela Mulrain left. The question with Igbo is, she's always traditionally had a problem with fouls. Is, has she matured enough to fill in that role? She's still going to start. Erek Batan, Ozzie Mamadou, Erie. We're going to say that for shorter.
Yeah.
Ozzie Mamadou.
I'm from Erie.
Oh,
it's spelled a little different. But,
I'm looking at it. Don't
we're
don't,
making
don't
connections,
worry,
though. I like that.
Connections, learning new people.
She's going to be a solid backup, though. She's going to fill in that role. Coaches really like what they saw from her, especially at the end of the year.
We saw Nadej a lot towards the end of the year last year, too.
Nadej is another really, like, and Nadej, since her freshman year, has had real flashes of some really great games. In the postseason 2 years ago, in the first round, it was against Fairleigh Dickinson. She tore it up. She was the leading scorer. It was incredible, and they dominated Fairleigh Dickinson. But yeah, to me, it's those guard positions. All right.
Yeah. Oh, those are wide open.
I think those are a game by game.
And that's how it was last year.
That's how it was last year. Cause like we would be like, I remember sitting there last year, especially, the conference tournament when it was at Robert Morris, I was sitting there doing the game and I was expecting to see Hinoki Kamatsu to come out as the point guard, and Nina Augustin started that game.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's a different look. And then they won the game in the end, but that was just kind of a surprise to me that, like, you know, this is probably, you know, where your season is. I mean, that is. It's like where your season's made or broken, and you're going to go with somebody who came off the bench in most of the games the year and that year.
And here's the other interesting thing. So Biscaglia last year, it was a 9-man rotation traditionally. That's what you saw. I'm looking at this entire roster.
That bench is deep
with 11 players, and I mean, you're talking about these freshmen. You know, again, you have Bella Posset, highly coveted. Julia Chadwick was playing
Julia
on the Canada U18 team. She has really great size. I mean, there's a lot of really great talent that they brought in. And again, players like Natalie Villaflor, you're going to see more from her as, you know, she comes in. I mean, she was named the Washington Post third team All-Met honors. The Washington Post, you know, in that area, there's a lot of basketball, especially in that Virginia area. I mean, that's where Callahan's from.
Yeah, and if I'm mistaken, I think they played together at some point. I think I saw something about that Athletics put up.
I really wouldn't be surprised, especially
sure.
If they're coming to the same place.
Yeah, maybe an AAU
team.
That's a
very good point.
Maybe high school, I don't know. But, yeah, again, like that's a lot of where a lot of these players come from, is Virginia and North Carolina and all these
But places. I will say, you know who's the biggest question mark to me in this lineup?
Who is that?
Nia Adams.
That's what.
See, we have talked about this before. I mean, we didn't really talk about it because I don't know much about Nia Adams.
So,
but you always like, yeah, this, like, we always think this is Nia Adams' year, and it's not. Like, what's...
So let me fill you in.
Give me
here.
The backstory.
So in 2015, 2016, her freshman year, she played in every game. She didn't play a lot. She usually got about 1.4 points per game and a rebound off the bench. Going into her sophomore year, she started off injured. And it was kind of like, all right, like, Nia Adams, a player, you know, they really like, she's going to step it up. She played 24 games. And she started 10. She didn't make her first start till January 9th. But she still only averaged about 3.2 points per game. And again, she kind of battled injury. 2017, 2018, you're like, all right, a lot of these big players are gone. You know, Ananiki, Sam Lamprou, and Janae Brown really took up that guard position. Looked like Nia was finally going to get the playing time. Because that's what it looked like. It really, to me, it seemed like it was just because you had such talented players in front of her that she wasn't getting the time. But she played just 3 games. She started in 2 of them. One of them was the opener against Michigan State, and she got 12 points. She looked great in that game. But since then, again, Nia Adams is a name you hear, but you don't necessarily see.
Yeah, you don't know what's...
And so that is just the biggest mystery, because it just seems like it. In the conversation around her, and when you see her actually play, she's super talented. But she needs to stay healthy on the floor, and I think that's probably hopefully been a focus.
Another person who wasn't healthy last year, only played, I think, one game,
Yeah, and I know exactly where you're going.
Is Dashiell. And, like, again, Nick and I have no idea what kind of player she is and how she would fit into all of this.
Yeah.
So, grand scheme of things. Well, so
let me cut you off, because with the Nia Adams thing, they need a leader on the floor.
Yes. And Especially if I was gonna get there.
Well, I haven't talked in a while, and I got okay. to hear you
and I miss Nick's voice. I like hearing it. It's so very, like, very soothing.
So I came in really close to showtime starting, don't worry about it. But like, you watch Megan Smith last year, and you can tell she is.
She was the voice of reason.
She is gonna. She was vocal. We heard her vocal. Yes. We sat right behind the bench. She was vocal during timeouts. She was vocal when she was on the bench. She's vocal on the court. She was the team's leader, and that was evidently clear to anyone in the arena. Who does that this year?
And I will tell you right now, and I will give you that 100% answer. It's Dashiell, and I'll tell you why. And you guys have never really seen Shakima Dashiell play.
Never.
She is the most intense player on that floor. Where Shakima Dashiell lacks in skill, she makes up for in just pure intensity.
Well, here's the thing that I noticed last year is during like warm-ups, like layup lines, shoot around, all that, Dashiell was like on crutches sometimes, maybe not. She was always on the floor supporting her team, being the loudest person
yes,
there.
That's very true.
And then once the game started, she sat on the end of the bench, but still was like, she was the reason why that bench was so lively last year.
I don't.
She would get up and scream and do whatever she needed to do.
I don't know if you guys picked it up from watching the games, but when they do that starting lineup through the tunnel, Shakima Dashiell has a secret handshake with every single player. And they do it. Not only do they do it at the game, but she does it every day at practice. When they're stretching, she goes down the line and gives every player a handshake. She is the vocal and the being of a leader on this team. She is who will lead that team. And her being back this year as a redshirt senior isn't big in the sense of her skill. It's big in the sense of that she is the leader on this team. And with a lot of young players, her presence keeps the focus. And in terms of tough situations and in terms of keeping away from the sophomore slumps like we talked about, it comes down to her.
With that being said, though, do you think they need a player who's just as vocal but can also take over the game if need be, such as like what Megan Smith would do?
Yeah,
do you think they need a leader like that as well, where she can be as vocal as she wants to, but she doesn't go out and take over the game herself? She just is there as a like supporting voice for the others to go out and do their best. Do you think they will struggle to find someone to replace Megan Smith in the aspect of where – not only will she encourage her teammates to do better, but she'll go out there and score 6 points, 8 points in a row if she has to.
Well, see, that's a very interesting question. I think that was an excellent question. I think Nia Adams can be that kind of player if she can stay healthy. I also think that this may be that moment. Again, you have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. What sophomore is going to step it up
and set themselves apart?
Yes. And you want my honest opinion, and I could be very wrong, but I see that being Megan Callahan. And the way you see Megan Callahan really interact with her teammates, specifically to me, the relationship between her and Hinoki Ikematsu.
They're roommates.
And Ikematsu came in still, you know, knowing very little of the English language. For those of you that didn't know that, I know you guys do. But she did a great job of really, you know, again, making those customs feel felt. I mean, they have an incredible friendship, and that's incredible in the sense of the language barrier there. And the fact that she's able to do that with a player like Hinoki Ikematsu, again, you know, the biggest thing with international players is making sure that, you know, again, they're comfortable. It's a whole new environment. It's not just adjusting to basketball. It's adjusting to, you know, a new way of doing everything because traditions are so different.
Absolutely.
The fact that you can make a player like Hinoki Ikematsu feel comfortable and allow to thrive, I think speaks a lot to Megan Callahan's character. And that's why I think, you know, again, I think that's an excellent question because you're right. Dashiell can only do so much on the sidelines. You had players like Megan Smith who were very vocal on the court, like Michaela Mulrain who were very vocal on the court and had the experience to do so. I think it'll be Megan Callahan, but again, we're going to have to see.
No, I'd agree with you too, because last year watching Callahan be one of the star players on the team, I had no clue she was a freshman when I started covering the team. Because obviously, you know, I was new here, but like, I was shocked to find out she was a freshman just by her body language out there, calm and composed, didn't seem rattled. She was very vocal as well. Obviously, not to the extent of Megan Smith, but she was very vocal. You could tell she was calm, cool, and collected. And I would anticipate that only gets better this year now. And she's more comfortable in this environment. You know, she's more comfortable playing college ball. She's more comfortable with her teammates and everything now. I would be very surprised if she wasn't the sophomore that steps up to the next level.
Yeah. And Luke, what's really cool, in my opinion, about again, the dynamic of this team and the question marks is if you look at this schedule, I don't know if you guys have looked at it.
I'm looking at it right
now.
So
am I.
And I am excited for the schedule.
And here's the thing. So you know how last year Robert Morris, I believe they tied the record for their best.
25-8.
But it was their best non-conference performance as well. They tied it. They didn't break the record. They tied the record.
Didn't they? It was the most wins in school history, wasn't it, though?
It was. It 25. Was the best season ever. And so here's the thing. Their schedule doesn't carry a lot of super tough matchups. You open at Youngstown State. You go and you go home and LaSalle comes. You play the University of Rhode Island, which, by the way, their men's team, really phenomenal. Great. Their women's team won 2 games last year.
Yeah.
So don't expect that to be a really brutal matchup. Bowling Green, for those of you that were at that game last year, should have been a win for Robert Morris, but they missed a free throw at the end that would have given them the lead. But they also played a terrible first half, and they ended up coming back in the second half.
That's true.
You got SMU. You have Loyola Marymount. The toughest one is going to be Iowa, at Iowa.
Yeah.
But then you play Kent State. Kent State beat them last year. I think Kent State will beat them again. You got Pitt Johnstown. That's just,
after that Pitt Johnstown game, though, I'm very confident in this team winning.
They might not lose for a while.
They might not lose until,
and then
again, ever.
And again, then you go to conference play, and you open up with Mount St. Mary's, Fairleigh Dickinson, St. Francis Brooklyn, LIU Brooklyn, before you get to Bryant. And Bryant is their first really, I would say, tougher matchup. Team. But again,
they could easily be coming in on a 7-game winning streak.
Yes.
Like, the confidence is going to be high with that team.
And you got to understand that the biggest matchups for them this year, for Robert Morris, are going to be Sacred Heart, who I think is going to be the sleeper team to potentially make a run at the title, and St. Francis. And you don't play St. Francis until February 18th, and then you don't play them again until March 7th. Your last 2 games of the season, which, by the way, great job by the NEC. Props on building this schedule, because the last 2 games for Robert Morris are Sacred Heart and St. Francis. So that weekend going there, that Monday and that Thursday, will very much determine where they go.
For the tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
One of those 3 teams is winning the conference.
Yes.
Yes.
One of those 3 teams, I'm very confident. I would say the only other one I think that could compete is Bryant. Besides that, I don't see anybody else.
Last year alone, St. Francis and Army were both 16-2 in conference, I believe.
Yes.
Sacred Heart was 3rd. They were 9-9.
Yep.
There's a huge gap in terms of, like, talent.
Yeah, it was super top-heavy.
Top-tier teams and then the bottom teams.
Exactly. And I think you're going to see a lot of the same this year. I don't think you've seen a lot of teams really make a big step forward. And again, Sacred Heart, to me, is the only other one.
Yes.
As you touched on, Bryant might be competitive as well.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to win or be a top 3 team, but I think they can, you know,
give
other teams some trouble that are in the top tier of the NEC.
They brought back their real trio of players, Sydney Holloway. Kira Palmer. And Naomi Ashley, all players that have been really great in their entire careers. Sydney Holloway's only a junior. She's going to be sensational. That's a team that I think could surprise people because it's been the same players, but they've been around so long, they've worked so well together, and they've been so great.
Yes.
That I think you're going to see some exciting things from this Bulldogs team.
All right, real quick, they're playing Youngstown State, a team that they beat 84-52 last year. Rob Morris is. Does Rob Morris, I feel, is going to win this game.
Yes.
What's going to be the score? That's the real question. Like, where are they going to, how many points are they going to put up on? Are they going to put another 84 spot up on Youngstown State?
I don't think so. I think you're trying to figure out your lineup still. You're trying to balance out minutes and stuff. I think they'll win comfortably. I don't think they're going to score 80 plus points.
Yeah.
I think in more mid 60s range, perhaps, maybe low 70s.
Yeah. I say at the end of the day, their focus is still going to be defense. Charlie Biscaglia, again, his focus is hustle. It's grit. You're grinding out games. He doesn't care about the flashy scoring. He cares about good fundamental basketball. They're half court. They're going to eat up the clock. I think very rarely you're going to see a lot of those big scoring games. I think you're going to see more than last year because, like you said, I think Callahan and Ikemetsu are going to get comfortable. But I would say with Nick, I'm going to say probably high 60s.
I was thinking like 62, 63.
Yeah.
But that's all we got for today. We've done everything that we set out to do today. Any last words?
I'm gonna pick a song.
And okay,
we're gonna jam
play
with
us
that.
Out. Play us out.
They're gonna win the NEC.
I'm
telling you right now. They're
to
gonna win the
Tuesday.
NEC.
Yeah, me too. I'm ready.
Are
to
me
go.
And Luke? Are me and you on the call?
No. It's at Youngstown.
Oh shoot, that's right.
So we will be at the Sunday, November 11th versus LaSalle game. We're not gonna be on the call.
I keep mixing those up on which one's home and away.
Yep. Yeah.
Are you ready? You ready, Sam Anthony?
I got the song playing already. Right, you haven't turned it on yet.
All
I'm back with the madness. I'm a champion of the people who don't believe in champions. I got nothing but dreams inside.